Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft.
Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Welcome to the session, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. Back where we should be, in the studio. And not just me, but my good friend, my long-lost, disappearing, troubled life, dramatic, I don't even know what goes on in his life anymore. Jamil Zainashef is back in the studio with
me. Hey, brother.
Hey, Jay-Z. I'm so happy to see you here.
I'm happy to be here. It's been so long.
It has been a while since you've been on this one. Of course, you've been carrying on Brew Strong like a trooper, you and John Palmer, but it's been a long time since you've been in here for the session.
Yeah.
So
yep.
It's nice to see you. And listen, people ask me about you all the time. They have so many questions. You've become the enigma, the mystery man.
There you go. Well, you know, that's how I like to keep things.
Yeah.
You know.
You've done well at that. I don't know about everything else.
Everything else, no, totally sucked at. But yeah, on that, I'm doing at least a C plus.
Well, I want everyone to know that I will not fail them at getting the nitty gritty out of Jamil and what he's been up to. Inquiring minds definitely want to know. So we're here to answer the tough questions. Which are really the simple questions, because I don't have many tough questions.
I can't answer a tough question because
I know, that's what
limited brain cells left.
That's what I figured. But we are also joined by some friends of ours from True Symmetry Brewing Company out of Sassoon City, California, not too far from here. We've got Jason in the studio. Welcome, Jason.
Thank you, sir. Glad to be here.
I'm really happy to have you and have your beer. We're going to be tasting some exciting beers from you. We've got your brewer, Kevin Fox. Foster's with us today. Welcome, Kevin.
John.
And we've got Silent Jesse, who is your business partner, right?
Indeed.
Yeah. So, and Jesse just waved for those of you. I didn't even give him a camera. I gave him a microphone that we won't use and no camera.
We call him that for a reason.
Yeah. But we are here in the studio at the Hop Grenade. You can come on down if you're tuning in live, and we've got Jason's beer on tap. So we're going to try a couple things, and we're going to try a seltzer as well, which I'm excited to try. We serve seltzer in cans here at the Hop Grenade. We haven't had one on tap yet. My beer buyer is a bit of a purist, and he's I've recommended it from time to time. You know, the consumer palate is changing, and I haven't convinced him yet that it's the right thing to do. He's just a little worried that seltzer is just like a vehicle to get hammered. Right?
Yes.
Which it has that aspect.
As is beer.
Yeah. Well, right. But I think he forgets that part of the changing consumer palate, look, we've always wanted to just get hammered. Mm-hmm. Now we just want to do it with less calories and carbohydrates. Right. So that's why I feel like we might end up. And so we'll see how yours holds up today, Jason.
Okay.
Maybe yours. Maybe I could convince him that
challenge
yours
accepted.
You know, yours could be like the first one that now, we have.
I haven't tasted this batch, but
oh,
I will
boy.
Say.
Here we go.
Yeah.
I will say that previous batches I thought was the best seltzer I've ever tasted.
Of all seltzers. Yeah, okay.
It was the cleanest, you know, as close to alcohol and water as you can get.
Okay.
Which is the goal of seltzer.
Yeah.
You don't want a bunch of malt flavor or yeast flavor or anything like that in there.
Right.
You just want pure, like, vodka soda type of experience. So I thought he did a brilliant job of it.
All right. Well, we're going to taste it here in just a couple minutes. You can go ahead and start pouring now. I got a couple bits of business to take care of. I want to thank our sponsor, you know, the sponsor that you know and you love. And if you don't, you should know them because you will love them. More Beer. Been with us since day one. Good friends of mine. Good friends of Jamil's. In fact, we were just hanging out with Chris Graham from over there the other day.
Right.
We always have fun when we get together. You can go to morebeer.com and check them out. And I've been telling you every time that I'm in love with their Comos line of brewing gear.
Mm-hmm.
The kegerators, the jockey box, the taps, the couplers. I mean, it's a whole kind of a turnkey serving equipment system, and they're all so much easier to use than when we started. Like, I'll give you a hint or a tip. You know those little stupid rings that you gotta use a screwdriver, the hose clamp, a stupid
mm-hmm.
hose clamp.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm so beyond the hose clamps that I don't even remember what they're called anymore. The Comos line has these connects, these quick connects. You just take your beer line, you push it into the connect, and it's there.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And then you push a little button to get it out. There's no more like bloody knuckles
when you're
dealing with the stupid hose clamps. That's got to be my favorite part.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of, for lazy people like me, it's made line cleaning obsolete. Because it's so easy to just push the button and take out the line.
Line, throw it away.
Throw it in the garbage line, and put another line in there.
That's the cleanest line you can have right there.
It is. It's definitely the cleanest line that I can have because I didn't clean the other lines
right.
anyway. I was, so now it just meant I went from not having clean lines to having clean lines.
Yeah.
Anyway, go to morebeer.com and check it out. You don't ever have to take my word for it. You can just go see it for yourself. But I don't generally lead you astray, at least not about sponsors. It's kind of my rule. Don't do that. Okay. So you can also support the show by clicking the donate button on the homepage. So many have been doing it for so many years, and we appreciate it. It's really kept us going through tough times and not. So thank you for that. But if you don't want to donate, you don't want to use PayPal, whatever, you could do your Amazon shopping like you normally do. Just click the Amazon link. There's a banner. It's all on thebrewingnetwork.com. And then just go on about your shopping as you do. And that helps us as well. You don't have to spend any extra cash. Support all of our sponsors that you hear about. For example, 21st Amendment Brewery. Sully was on the last show co-hosting with me. And Hell or High Mango Beer is out right now. Find that on the shelf and check it out. A wonderful beer. Just as delicious, if not better, than their Hell or High Watermelon. So support all of our sponsors, and that really helps us out. If you want to talk to us, send feedback to feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com, and we will answer your questions or comments or criticism often on air. All right. I see we have seltzers in front of us, right?
Yes, you have seltzer.
Now, it looks like it looks like tonic. It looks like a straight, like, seltzer. There's no fruit color. There's no nothing. Is this a fruited seltzer?
No. So we do a clear base seltzer.
Okay.
So... And I was drugged to this kicking and screaming. I didn't really want to make a seltzer, but my wife, who runs the front end of the business, the smart one, pretty much was like, hey, we should do this.
Sure.
So,
and
we,
by the way, seltzers are completely legal for breweries to make?
Yes, it's grain-based, so this is
okay.
Corn sugar.
Got it.
So, yeah, absolutely. So, essentially what we did is we did a bunch of research and made a bunch of phone calls and found a wine yeast that does not produce any sulfur.
Okay.
So a couple of things that I don't like about a lot of the seltzers that are out there. You get sulfur from bad fermentation, or they use so much nutrient in there that it comes through and it tastes like you're chewing on a Flintstones vitamin. So I found this wine yeast that doesn't produce a lot of sulfur, and we kind of starve it of nutrients, and we limp it along. So we do a pretty long ferment on it, and it takes some extra time to get it clear in the tank.
Okay.
So commercially, you know, for big beers, beer companies, maybe not as viable because it's going to take some tank time. But it's 5.5% alcohol. We put it out plain. So in the brewery, we offer different, you know, the Tirani syrups or extract flavors.
So like a Berliner Weiss style.
Essentially, yeah.
Okay.
But with just a clear base. So it's 5.5. I actually like it with a wedge of limes. We brought some lime today. So okay. You can try it plain and then put a wedge of lime in there. And it's almost like a, you know, like a club soda with lime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think I've ever just had a plain seltzer ever
plain
at all.
Plain seltzer.
So in general, if you fermented it correctly, like you have done, every seltzer would start tasting like this. It's just a pretty, like I said, it tastes like tonic water a little bit. Not even that bitter as tonic water.
Yeah, just pretty bland and plain and really flavorless for the most part.
What's the ABV on this?
Excuse me, 5.5%.
Okay.
So it does throw, you get a little bit of pear from the yeast. But like I said, what we do is we do a long ferment on it. So instead of maybe a 4 or 5 days, we do it 10 to 12 days. And it finishes out bone dry, so there's no residual sugars left, just okay. The alcohol.
Wow.
And then we push it over to the bright tank and use some silifine and brass hole to clear it up, depending on what we have, and put it into kegs just like that.
All right.
Throw some lime in there.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing to talk about other than what you said. There's just like, there's a slight pear, but then it's just kind of, you know, just an easy nothing seltzer, flavor-wise, right?
Yeah. Not much to it.
All right, so squeezing a little lime in it now, or a lot. It's funny, you had to bring your own limes here, which I kind of, I felt like that's a badge of honor. You knew that we wouldn't have limes to put in people's beer.
I
here.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, you just made a guess. I feel like
just
that was,
figured, yeah,
I feel like that was respect.
You're not serving Corona here, so yeah.
We get asked for it, but not Corona, but limes.
Yeah. And the thing about this is the people that have gluten allergies or don't like beer. So let's say our tables will seat 6 people. I'll have 2 or 3 people sometimes at a table that don't like beer, and and we're kind of next to wine country,
right?
So then the question is always like, hey, do you have any wine? No, we don't have any wine.
Yep.
But here's what we can offer.
So that's and this is why I've talked to my buyer about it too. We are not allowed to serve wine. We are not allowed to serve liquor because we want people under 21 to be able to come in here too. If we made it 21 and over, then we could add wine. But we get the same thing, and we have for the 8 years that we've been open. Well, do you have wine? No. Do you have cocktails? No. And honestly, a bunch of those people leave.
Yeah, or you have somebody sitting with the rest of their party that's not drinking anything. Mm-hmm. So now I just made, they're going to drink 3 of these. Let's pass these limes down. They're going to drink 3 of these, and I just, you know.
Oh, it's delicious.
Yeah. It drinks nice.
It does. And it's so it's like I was saying at the beginning of the show, it's so like, it's so not filling, right? Like it just really, you can have a couple of these and not feel like bloated.
Yeah.
Like as I'm getting older now, a couple beers, I feel bloated, right? It didn't used to bother me. I think I was bloated, but I didn't notice it.
Right.
And now
virile strength to combat the bloating. Yes.
Yeah, just like it didn't matter. It didn't affect me.
Right.
It really affects me now. Like even if I sit in the wrong position, I'm like, oh, I can't even burp anymore.
Old man, Justin.
It's gotten really bad. But this is nice.
Yeah, and I feel really bad starting with something like this because it's not really a beer. I mean, this is more science than it is straight brewing.
Sure.
I mean, we're heating up sugar water, essentially, under the right pH. There's a lot of water stuff you do to this, too.
Was this more difficult to make than a beer, you think, to make it clean like this?
No. I mean, once we dialed it in, it's a pretty easy day. It takes some time on the cold side.
Okay.
For what we're trying to do, to make it this clear and this crisp.
Right.
Because, I mean, you could feed a bunch of nutrients into this thing and get it done really fast. But then unless you've got a heavy, expensive filtration process and all that, which we don't. We're a tiny little brewery that sells probably 90% of what we make in the tap room.
Sure.
You know, we'll jump around that tank, you know. So we have a couple brights, so we'll put it in a bright and we'll jump around it with everything else that we're making.
Okay.
Until we have to put it into kegs.
So right now at your tap room, you make one seltzer, but then have the flavorings to put in it.
Yes.
Which is what? Just like a bottle of syrup?
We have a bunch of different flavors. So, you know, blood orange and strawberry and whatever.
And you guys just dialed in like how much to put into a pint.
They figured out. And then some people that come in all the time that this is their thing.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I want 2 pumps or I want 3 pumps of the Trona syrup or 2 drops of the grape extract. You know what I mean? So they get real quick. And our bartenders are great. My wife runs the front and she's got everybody really dialed in. So
nice.
They're pretty in tune with what people want. And it's just another great way to have somebody that's going to come in and otherwise be bored and sit there and watch their friends drink. Now they have something that they can drink.
Right.
It's fruity. It's fizzy. Yeah. It's light. It's
right. And you make a few bucks.
But not only that, you've offered a variety off of one tap handle.
Right.
That's kind of what I'm fascinated about right now. Even like for myself, like thinking about this, I would go ordering, so we have one cider tap. And we rotate it like we do all of our other taps. So, you know, one day it's a peach cider, and the next day it might be some sour, like whatever. But my customers only get one choice.
One choice.
But this is really cool because it's one seltzer, but endless choices or however many syrup.
Those cider people would drink this.
Yeah.
And then you could have as many flavors as you want.
You can do whatever you want. We've actually been thinking about doing like root beer and cola. And I mean, we haven't taken it on yet, but I'm like, hey, we could work this out to have... We can do whatever we want with it.
And service is quick. You shoot a pump of the syrup into the glass.
Oh, I can do that fast.
Right? Easy.
Yeah, hey, my age.
And then you fill it with the seltzer, and that's it.
And it's done.
That's done.
Oh, man, we got to talk after the show. I might be stealing some of your seltzer, bro.
We sell it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you sell the syrup too? Do you sell to like other accounts this kind of stuff? Or would I just buy
bottles of Tarani?
I would just go buy, yeah.
And Tarani will even give you the pumps in it.
Oh, man.
We sell.
My staff's going to hate me.
We only run about maybe 25 draft accounts outside the brewery.
Okay.
And I think we have 2 or 3 that buy this. And then usually when they do it, they keep doing it.
Yeah.
Because it's just that alternative. Something else that somebody can have that can't have gluten or... doesn't like hop or beer.
Yeah.
I don't like hops. Okay, well, here you go.
I think we might have to try this. Yeah. All right, we're going to talk.
All right.
Yeah, sorry, Lewis. Let's apologize to him now. He doesn't listen to the show, but I'm going to have to apologize to him on Monday. You're going to get a lot of phone calls on Monday.
I know.
Lewis would rather have a job than...
True Symmetry, also known as Trader Brewing Company. Look at these guys
on the,
making seltzer.
Yeah.
What is wrong with them? The can is really cool, though, right?
The can is awesome. Here, I can put it on camera. Oh, actually, hold it to your camera right there. Let me see if I can get
Where's
you
my camera?
There. Your camera's right here. And
I'm pointing at your nuts.
Easy.
Hold it there. There it is. Yeah, that's a cool can. It's like a nice tattoo is what it looks like. It's a good can.
Yeah.
That's speaking of tattoos, you know what Jay-Z told me the other day? He's getting his heretic tattoo burned off of him.
Yes.
Which really surprised me. Okay, everybody. So, listeners, if you don't know Jamil, I know you do. He is a former heretic fame. He sold it. And then recently got fired from it. And he has this large piece of history, in my opinion, on his arm in the form of the Heretic logo, which I thought you'd just be like, yeah, you know, part of my life, part of my history. But no, you want it gone. You're burning it off of your body. You're lasering it off.
Yeah, oh yeah. Costs like 10 times as much to remove a tattoo as to get a tattoo.
Totally. And it's way more time.
Oh yeah. It's going to take like 2 years.
Oh my gosh. Why? You don't just see it as like part of your life and, you know, whatever?
Part of it is I'll go places and people will say, oh, you really must like, you know, Heretic beer.
Okay, yeah. And, you have to answer things.
Right, and then I want to get in the conversation. And then the people who don't know that, they're just like, oh, you really must enjoy the devil. Or, you know, it's like, no.
I see. Well, that makes sense. You always have to answer questions if you've got tattoos.
Right.
So
I'd rather just, you know, race it and then I'll get like a tramp stamp or something. There.
I told them we could actually do a True Symmetry cover-up right there.
Yeah, cover-ups are where it's at.
Huh? Right.
I mean, at one point you will have to, like, it's not going to go away completely, is it?
They say they can get completely rid of it.
Really?
And they said, and if not, then I'll get a cover-up.
Okay. You know?
But they said a lot of people just fade them 50% and then get a cover-up.
Okay.
Because this is quite a dark.
Yeah, you went for it. It was your first and only, right? And
yes.
You went for it right away.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
And you were like, oh, never get your business logo as a tattoo.
But look how wrong I was, because I'm a failure and you succeeded. Because my dad always told me, he said, never get your own logo tattooed to you.
Right.
What kind of dad? But anyway, because it's bad luck. He said, never buy your wife fake boobs. and never get your logo tattooed to you. Both will leave you.
Well,
if you as and so I've never I don't have a wife, but if I did, I'd follow that advice.
I think your dad you should have done a whole show of your dad's sage advice, because it's actually pretty good at this point.
But your business didn't fail. I mean, you built it to a point to sell it. So right. So the opposite. And maybe I should have gotten a fucking tattoo.
There you go.
So will you, by the end of the show, will you give me your top three pointers of how to sell my business? Please.
Sure.
That's what I want.
Can I sit in on that?
Right. We all. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody has asked. They're just like, can you help me sell my brewery?
Right.
I have people coming out of the woodworks going like, help me sell my brewery. Tell me how you did it.
Yeah.
Can you give me some advice?
So here's a question that you can answer. I know you can answer it. Whether or not you're going to answer it truthfully, I do not know.
Oh, I'll never lie to you, Justin.
Yeah. Okay. Did you build Heretic from the start to be sold? Was it always part of your game plan?
No.
It really wasn't?
No.
I was never convinced it was, if I'm being honest with you, but there was a little thing in the back of my mind that thought you were just smart enough to do that. So I thought maybe you were.
Well, you know, like anybody, I had these dreams of, you know, a brewery, and then, you know, I'd pass it on to my children, and, you know, it'd be this thing. My kids don't want to run a brewery. They had enough experience working for the brewery and being around the brewery and seeing how difficult it was. Because one of the reasons that we succeeded was because Liz and I worked 7 days a week,
right?
You know, 12 hours a day for a decade.
Yeah.
And once you stop doing that amount of work, it starts to not be as successful.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
So we, you know.
So you thought in the beginning, well, like you said, you did that, the family would get involved, and you would retire at some point, but not necessarily
pass
have to,
it to
like
the kids or pass it to them. And then the kids didn't want it, so my goal was then to turn it over to the employees.
Like an ESOP type thing?
Yeah, yeah. You know, essentially, you know, give it to the employees, and then, you know, the revenue of the business would affect the purchase.
Mm.
You know, the employees would just use the revenue to buy us out, and then after that was done, you know, the profits are all theirs.
Right.
So that was my goal.
But
then
I've
the
heard
pandemic
that
hit. So.
So I've had mixed commentary from different companies about that ESOP model,
mm-hmm.
with or without COVID.
Right.
And several people who are being honest, who aren't still in the thick of it, so they're not allowed to say that it sucks,
right.
have kind of told me it's a very difficult model to make work.
Yes.
For anybody to ever get paid, it's a very, very difficult model ever work.
You got
to
have enough, you know, revenue coming through to make it occur. Well, and it depends what the owners want to get out of it when they go into that ESOP model, right?
Yeah.
I just want to get my investment back out of it, right?
Okay.
Because I pretty much, you know, sold everything we had and, you know, went in all in on it.
Yeah.
And I really just wanted to get that back out of the business. And then, you know, the rest could be for the employees.
So that's more
doable. So it was more doable. If you want to get what you think you can sell it for, most people don't realize that they're never going to get, you know, the $1 billion that, you know, Ballast Point got or you know, Lagunitas got.
Yeah, those days are over.
Yeah, never going to happen again.
Yeah. Well, and New Belgium's another example.
Mm-hmm.
They went into the employee-owned model in ESOP, and they were that way for years.
Right.
And things that I've heard are that their only way for that to be profitable, both for the employees and for Kim Jordan, who, of course, owned the most of that, was to sell,
mm-hmm.
which they did, of course, to Kieran, to start our sort of conversation on buyouts. And for them, the ESOP was maybe a good decision, but was never going to get anybody paid, especially at the size that they were. So to get people paid and keep the growth going, it was sell or die, basically. Or sell or keep not making money.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And you only care that you're part of an ESOP at some point if you're going to get paid, don't you?
Right, right.
Like, as an employee.
Yeah, you know, an ESOP in a big, you know, company that's, you know, listed on, you know, an exchange,
mm-hmm.
where you can sell the shares, that's, you know, employees can make money off of that. That's a good thing for employees. When it's a privately held company, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, well, here's a wish and a dream on a sheet of paper for you. You know, good luck.
Right.
You know, and employees generally aren't going to get anything out of that.
Sure. Because
you can't sell it. You can't do anything with it.
Yeah.
So.
So you never got to that point.
No.
Okay, and we're going to take a break here in a minute. But before we do that, had you been approached times before over the years about selling before you finally did? Or was this like you had been?
Yes. Uh-huh.
From any of the big characters?
Big-ish.
Yeah. Like investment groups or any of the, like, you know, your InBevs of the world or you know?
I mean, there was various discussions. All of them under NDA is the problem.
Oh, even back then? Oh.
Yeah, so, nobody approaches you without, you know, wanting an NDA, you know.
But how, once you reject, is that still, you're under the NDA for a while?
Yeah, pretty much they start doing, like, 5 years, so there's some that I could probably talk about. I can't really remember how long it's been. But there's other, you know, good-sized breweries, craft breweries that were interested.
Okay.
And then I talked to some others that, you know, I thought would be, you know, that I consider friends, that I thought it'd be really nice to be with them.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, ended up acquiring breweries. I'm just like, you know, take us.
Acquire
you
me.
Know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because...
Were you putting out the vibe, too? Were you like, hey, I want to sell?
No. Well, you know, once the pandemic hit or, you know, right around then, when I got sick, that's really when I started going like, look, I could be, you know, I was going to die if they didn't do something and do something quickly.
And they being the doctors?
Yeah.
That was figuring out whatever mystery illness
you
had?
Right,
yeah.
And I was, you know, it was 6 months of them dicking around, and I was just like, I'm going to be dead. I told Liz at one point, I'm like, I'm going to be dead in July. I said, you know, we need to figure this out. If they don't do something soon, I'll be dead.
Yeah.
And so that was just like, we need to figure out how to get rid of the brewery because I'm going to be dead.
They figure out what's wrong with you? You're not dead.
Yeah, they know. Yeah.
So I guess
they figured it out. They don't have a cure, so they just give you medicine to deal with the symptoms.
Okay,
and then you end up dying early, anyways. But you know it's longer.
So it's an immuno thing.
Yeah,
immunocompromised type of disease.
That you have. Yeah,
okay,
right. But you know, so with that, I'm just like, I need to, you know, really. To figure out how to take care of my family, I need to make sure that, because also I thought, well, if I died, you know, and then they tried to sell the brewery, they'd struggle to sell the brewery without me.
Yeah,
it would be better to sell it with me than without me.
Sure.
And then once they kind of figured out what was wrong with me and they started treating me, I was like, okay, I'll live and I could still run the brewery. And then the decision was you know, do you, you know, keep going? And, you know, the problem is you just keep going with the brewery. You just keep spending anything you make in order to keep, you know, growing. And it's, you know, such a tough business model. And then, yeah, it was just, let me, you know, let's just, you know, start looking for a, you know, somebody we think is a good partner who will take care of the brewery, take care of the employees.
Yeah.
Because we, you know, the employee stock thing, I needed a few more years to make that happen. But then I was just like, you know, I don't have a whole lot of strength and energy. I'm just like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
I can't make it the remaining years. It really made me very sad because all the employees are like family to me.
Yeah.
You know, they're all my children. So it really kind of crushed me to have to do it, to have to sell it. But I had to make the move.
Well, and in that sense, it's the right thing for them, too, because you don't want to hold on to the point because you care about them that they don't have a job.
Right. And then when the whole thing just closes down because they couldn't find somebody to buy the brewery.
Yeah, that's rough.
So that's kind of how it all came to pass.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to talk more about it. We're going to take a quick break right now. On that somber note, Jesus.
I was going to die. I had a tear in my eye.
I mean, what's funny is whenever I talk to you, you're like, oh, I'm okay. But whenever I saw you, I said the same thing. I was like, oh, he's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
He looks bad. You know.
He's no good.
I am like 35 pounds later.
We're all neighbors. We all hang out.
Doing pretty good now.
Yeah, yeah. So now you see the good side of him. And you saw the bad side.
When? When's that happening?
When does that happen?
He's never seen that.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about Heretic and other states of the industry, because all kinds of things like this are happening. Jamil's not the only one, of course. And then we're going to try some more True Symmetry beer, too. Hang in there. It's the session, and we'll be right back.
What does Colgate mean by live life to the brightest? Could it be a rich glass of red sipped inside a Parisian cafe on a snowy night when my gaze is met by a tall, mysterious... I mean, brushing is directed with Colgate Optic White Pro Series Toothpaste gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 3 days, so you can live life to the brightest and finish that glass without worrying about teeth stains. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Welcome back to the program. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. We got Jamil Zainasheff, my good friend Jay-Z, back in the studio, plus the boys from True Symmetry. I went straight for the double IPA in my glass this time. I skipped right over the hazy.
Wise choice.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't mind a good hazy.
I just want to be able to speak English by the time we're done, so I said
yeah.
No on that one, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to get a head start on not doing that, so I figured I'd just go right for that. I was drinking like a Pilsner before,
sure,
so okay. I feel I have space right in on. My...
No judgment over here.
I'm not bloated yet, so...
Sorry. Well, the seltzer has helped.
Yeah, the seltzer totally helped. We'll see. I might be the one who gets carried
the
out
lime
today.
Lime juice. No scurvy. You're fine.
Yeah. All right. So let's continue along this path so that we can then also talk about others. But so at some point, this kind of investment group does approach you, Jamil.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Is that an accurate definition of them, an investment group?
Yes.
That was looking to purchase a small group of breweries?
Correct. So, yeah, they're craft beverage cooperative.
Uh-huh. It's creative.
So they, right, CBC.
Okay.
So they purchased Moab Brewing.
Oh, yeah.
And then...
Now, we had been there early in our career, Jamil.
Jeff is still there.
Oh, that's awesome. Good for him. Because Moab's a cool place to live, so that's
right.
Probably why he's still there.
Right, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so they approached us, and we just kind of went from there.
Okay. So they came in, they said, we're just looking to purchase breweries. But you also mentioned that you had these goals in mind, which was to kind of take care of the employees, too,
right.
And keep, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know if status quo were your words, but keep things going.
Yes.
And so I got an email from you, right, about, I think, shortly after it took place, mm-hmm. but before it had gone public, with you letting me know, like, right. Hey, this is happening. It's a good thing. They kind of have said, you know, they're keeping everybody
yes.
on. They were keeping you on.
Right. They told me they'd keep Liz and I on. Everything would remain the same.
And that was true, right? At least, you know, right when it happened, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So your brewers remained and, mm-hmm. okay. And then you were there for how long before getting let go after that buyout? Is that like a year, do you think?
About 6 months.
Oh, wow. Okay. So now I like being honest with you, too. You know that. Because mm-hmm. I know I can tell you whatever is in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I go to one of the conferences, the homebrew conference, I don't know what. And people start asking me, what happened to Jamil? And I'm like, I don't know what. Is he dead?
See, that would be the first thing that leaps to mind.
I'm like, is he finally dead?
That's a big
was he arrested for something pornographic?
Right.
Or was it drugs?
Right. And it was like, no, no.
Who did he shoot?
Exactly.
What bank did he rob?
Any of these things. Right? Everybody else, like, first thing in their mind is what happens with the brewery. Me, you're right. I think of all these personal things. But anyway.
Was he? It's a Pee Wee Herman thing, isn't it? Again?
Yeah. 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 Does he have to register for something? Is he not allowed? So no, the people are like, well, you didn't see his, you know, his Facebook post. And I'm like, listen, I haven't looked at social media in I don't know how long.
Who looks at social media?
I don't like it. I can't do it. It doesn't make me feel good. So anyway, but you had posted something like,
everybody's more successful.
You were. Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah. So, but anyway, you posted something like, I no longer have anything to do with Heretic Brewing Company. Right. And so that happened very quickly. And basically you got let go.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the honesty part. The next instant thing I thought was, well, it's because he's a fucking pain in the ass to work with. I bet they totally intended to keep him around, but he went around and they're like, well, we do have to like make this little change. And he's like, nope. I'm telling you, I know how to run Heretic. And then they were like, come on, Jamil, you got to let us make this. And he was like, nope. So my next impression was that when it's Jamil's way or the highway, and I'm not saying this as an insult at all. I think you're a very smart entrepreneur. You've helped me in my life. Like, I've told you you're wrong sometimes, found out you're fucking right. So honestly, that was my first impression was that maybe you obtused yourself out of a fucking job. What do you think about that?
As his attorney, I can speak on his behalf. He cannot confirm
nor deny. Yeah, yeah.
Well,
I hope that's not offensive, Jamil. I don't mean it that way.
No, so I was not in charge of things.
Okay.
So I was not making decisions.
Okay. Because you were told you were going to be. When you emailed me, you're like, right. Hey, I'm still CEO, basically.
Right.
I don't know if CEO is, but you're like, yeah, I'm still on. But that wasn't happening.
They were, no.
Okay.
I was not making decisions that it couldn't be farther from the truth. Now,
okay.
If you ask my opinion, I will give you my opinion.
Of course you will, yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm not a yes man, so.
Yep.
If you don't like what I have to say, well, I mean, you don't have to follow what I say.
Right. But, yeah. But I'm going to say what I think it is.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, I won't tread too much more on that because I know you can't just sit here and say, well, that they're just running the company into the ground or whatever. I can put those words in your mouth. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. And I knew, listen, even though that was my first thought, I was like, well, there's always more to this story. But I do know you and you know what you're doing. And so, yeah, I just thought, well, shit, if they kept him on as CEO and they're like, do this and do that. But really, it was not that at all. They're right. Doing this or that anyway. And you're letting them know if you think
things were not my decision.
Yeah.
But I will say that, you know, Andrew's still there and, you know, most of the brewing team is still there.
Well, that's good.
Some people have left. But, you know. Yeah, with Andrew there, I think everything's, you know, still solid.
Good.
The beer's fantastic still.
Yeah.
Andrew's killing it.
If Andrew
delicious.
Leaves, then I don't know.
Andrew's a head brewer.
Yes.
At this point, the brewmaster, isn't
he? Director of Brewing Operations.
Yeah, okay.
So he started 9 years ago.
Wow.
He came to me from More Beer to work part-time.
Okay.
He worked part-time for a little bit, and then he went on full-time. And we started him out as, you know, general keg washer, nobody, nothing. And he worked his way up. And then when Chris Kennedy left, Chris was like, yeah, that's the guy to
wow.
make the head brewer. And so he became head brewer and then, you know, just kind of gone from there.
So he had to work with Beardy.
Yes.
Speaking of pain in the ass to work with.
Oh,
he
yeah.
had to work with Beardy. He had to work with Kennedy. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
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 Yeah, Beardy's something else. That guy.
He is.
Talk about, I'll give you my opinion. That's Beardy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I love working with him.
Yeah, that's good.
He came back for a bit after working for
whatever
Los
that
Gatos.
Place. Yeah, 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 that
in,
place.
In the ghetto.
Yeah.
The ghetto is what Los Gatos translates to.
Right, even though it's the nicest place in the Bay.
Yeah, he... he came back to work at Heretic because he wanted to work in the distillery because he wanted to open a distillery.
Right.
And there was so I got to work with him a little bit there. And then somebody crashed into the boiler, you know, and didn't say anything and destroyed, like, the boiler controls. And so Warren and I were, you know, the next morning going like, oh, this thing isn't working. And so he and I worked together on fixing that. Mm. And, you know, just he is a very logical guy.
Yeah.
And very smart and, you know, very detail oriented.
Methodical and in that sense.
I just love working with him. Yeah. It was just a wonderful time to work with, you know, somebody I worked with in the past. And
yeah.
And because Warren, other than Wynn Wisenhunt from Wondrous, Warren was like our first real employee besides Chris Kennedy.
I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and that's because I made him move out here and got him that fucking job.
Right, right.
Yeah, I wanted Beardy on the West Coast.
So that psycho guy who approached me at the conference.
Yeah, I'm like, hire him.
That's the guy.
Yeah, hire him. He's great. You'll trust me. It'll be great.
Oh, I love Warren.
He is super methodical and detailed. And so him and I on projects like that don't work well together because I cut all the corners. I'm like, no. What? It's going to work my way, too. Your way is much more difficult.
Right.
However, I'll admit, his way is way more effective and, like, long-lasting.
Yes.
Right? Because it's the right way. I'm just a little more duct tape.
He's willing to go, like, well, you know, if that's what we need to do, we'll you know, cut the corners.
But yeah, yeah.
He wants to go through the discussion of that you're cutting corners.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love working with him.
He really does.
That was great.
All right, this is a good time to talk about the beer that is in my glass. We're going to skip over your hazy and right to my double. But Foster, you're the brewer now at True Symmetry, right?
I am, yep.
All right, tell me, tell me about this Imperial IPA I have in my glass.
So you're drinking the Pandamit.
Yeah, Pandamit, love it.
Yep.
Okay.
9.5%.
Yeah.
Viking Pale and Viking Pils.
Very nice.
More beer.
Good malt.
Little Carafoam.
Okay.
And then Simcoe and Citra.
Just Simcoe and Citra.
Yep. Whole way through.
Cal Ale.
USO5.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a nice, it's big.
Yeah, it's 9.5.
It's 9.5, which I didn't look at the board. I just said, give me the double.
Yeah, it's.
And then right when I tasted it, I was like, oh, yeah, okay.
It's a little beefy.
Yeah, that's beefy. That's nice, though. And just Simcoe, Citra. That's it.
Yep.
It's a pretty magical combo, those two. You don't need a whole lot more. Although, new school people, you know, they say you can't make an IPA anymore without even a touch of Mosaic. But you didn't fuck with the Mosaic in there.
It's in the hazy.
It's in the hazy.
Yeah. We had Liquid Gravity on a couple weeks ago, and he's like, yeah, I just can't even bring myself to make an IPA without Mosaic. Even he's tried. And at the end, he always goes, fuck.
A little bit.
Yeah, and he throws some in there.
It is nice.
Yeah, yeah.
So I came up brewing with Chris Miller out of Berryessa. So I did like 6 years out there helping out. So he's like a mentor, and I learned a ton from that guy. So a lot of what we do is based off of some of the Berryessa foundation that I got. So then bringing Foster in and turning this into what we do and learning from this guy over here, Jamil. We're trying to see you
on the radio.
Oh yeah, I'm on camera right now. I can see.
Yeah,
and you.
That's right. Yeah.
So it's a pretty good beer. We do it a couple times a year, and it came out during the pandemic. See, I say it the same way.
I like that. Hey, that's a good brand. Yeah, when you get it wrong like that, it's perfect.
That's and good, when good we name. Had to do beer to go only, so we would put a table in front of one of our doors, and people would come up, and we have a can seamer from Dixie Canner behind the bar.
Okay.
And making cans, and our customers were awesome. They stepped up. They were coming in buying 4-packs. Bartenders were still working. We kept everybody working. They were making 4-packs for people right out of the taps, so like a growler, really. Drink them fast, and this beer kind of came from that as sort of a fuck you to the whole situation.
Right.
And we do it maybe twice a year now.
Oh, okay.
Just because people are kind of like, hey, where's that beer?
Yeah.
And so we'll do it a couple times a year just to kind of pop it out. And
where's the Pandamit?
And it's it is probably one of your best beer names because he has some of the stupidest beer names. He's gotten much better. He's gotten much better over time. And now, more recently, your beer names have gotten better. But when you started... Oh my God.
I still name all the beers, so it hasn't really. I'm the guy still naming
right,
the beers.
But now you've kind of listened to some feedback.
Maybe a bit on
why people would not order one of your beers because the name was really stupid.
Well, yes. This from the guy who's like his inaugural beer was called like Tuffle Launcher Berry.
Yeah,
or something.
That nobody can say. That was a delicious beer.
It was a good beer. I did not name great that beer. That was Matt Staley.
Right, but you released it like as your first beer as a brewery.
It was
a crazy
his
idea.
Pro-Am.
That's right. What was it? What was it really called?
Taffle Bully.
That's it. Taffle Bully. I really couldn't remember it.
Great
I wasn't
beer,
being,
but
yeah. So. But his name's got, so Jamil's name's got pretty damn good.
Yeah, right. But we couldn't do evil this, evil that, because, I mean, they're doing it across town.
But
so
then,
so
yeah, but then, right.
We can do good this, good that? I don't know. Well, like, maybe?
Yeah. The some random Tuesday or whatever it was.
Oh, that was the, so we had a brown. So I went to Brew Lab in England. Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's where you learned to brew professionally, right?
Yes. Okay. So I've been homebrewing, Jesse and I have been homebrewing forever. And then we won some ribbons and were part of Greenbelt Brewers. That's where I met Kevin.
Okay.
Out of Davis. And then I got accepted and went up to Northern England to go to Brew Lab for a few months and study brewing and bounced around at a bunch of breweries and helped out. And
none of this justifies your stupid beer name.
Easy. So we had this brown ale. So the lead instructor was the head brewer at Scottish Newcastle for forever. And so I kind of got a watered-down version of Newcastle. And so we make this brown ale. It's delicious, but it doesn't sell.
Okay.
Because as a home brewer, I made it on some stupid Tuesday that I took off from work.
Right. You wanted to bring your roots
like
with
from
you.
My day job, right? I took the day job day off, and we made this beer, and it was fantastic. And so we made
it's
again.
It's a
and
really
again.
Nice beer. Yeah,
made it again and again and again and again.
Okay,
and it wasn't selling.
And it okay.
And then so we went commercial, and we did it commercially, and it was great. And it was called Perfect Tuesday because it was the Perfect Tuesday, right? I'm in my garage.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't called Perfect Tuesday.
No, I'm sorry. Oh, shit, you're right.
It was called random.
Because I was going to say Perfect Tuesday sounds like that.
Right. Yeah,
it was called Random Tuesday.
Okay.
Which I thought was cool.
Yeah,
and then,
no, Perfect Tuesday.
No, it was some random Tuesday.
Okay,
no,
yeah.
No, it was just
yeah.
Random Tuesday. So he came in. We became neighbors and friends and all that. And he was like, this beer is fantastic. But I go, nobody buys it.
Because so the name is stupid.
No, it's a brown ale, for one thing. And he's like, yeah, and the name's stupid. Call it like...
A beautiful Tuesday.
Right, something like that.
Yeah.
That's good. Perfect Tuesday is good, too.
So we came up with Perfect Tuesday, so it sold a little
bit better.
A beautiful
Tuesday would have done better.
Yeah. But it's still a brown ale. Unfortunately, like, I love to make English beers. That's my love.
If you had used a beautiful Tuesday like I told you,
it still wouldn't sell. It's a brown ale.
It would sell better than how it's selling. I'm just
a beautiful Tuesday sounds like a really good independent film. It's a nice name, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a decent
name. I think you start
your beer.
Yeah. And it's still.
You can find it on his OnlyFans.
And
still, I'm pretty sure.
It's still.
I'm pretty sure. If you go to his OnlyFans, you could see him starring.
It's
still
a beautiful Tuesday.
I mean, I gotta earn a buck one way or another.
That's right.
There's. It's still, not a great name. But you know, you got some other names. Yeah, tell them the name of your triple IPA.
Come on. So we do movie lines.
No, don't explain anything.
Well, you have to explain
it. No, the customer doesn't get it
we
explained to them.
We literally only sell it in the tap room. So
okay, but Jamil's right. Give me the name first, and then...
You won't get it. It's called Lopsop Doi.
Yeah, so Jamil's right,
yes.
Because no, you don't get the chance to explain the name
right.
Most of the time.
But if you saw the label, you would get it. So okay. It's from Where's My Car?
You still don't get
it. Oh, yeah,
They get their special suits, and they go in, the guy says, you guys were really Lopsop Doi last night, which means, like, wasted. It says wasted.
Okay.
Trash can.
Yeah.
It's like you're, because it's 11%.
That's a good inside joke.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so you're siding with him. I see what's happening.
I am.
You need because, to sell beer is the point.
Right. We sell beer in the tap room.
That doesn't matter. People won't come up and
so
they won't order something they
this
can't
model.
Pronounce or know.
So the heretic model and the true symmetry
of being
model.
Successful.
Wow.
Well, I will say, okay.
This can go on all night.
The names have already taught me about your business philosophy. And that I know a little bit of your background from before we started the show. And it is different than Jamil's. Jamil just summed it up. I would say it nicer than he wants to be successful. I would say...
He's mean?
You genuinely started a brewery to have fun and be a brewer. And didn't... Don't didn't you don't want to go broke doing it, but right. you don't really care otherwise.
We
he
just,
he no, started he a brewery because he wanted to start a brewery.
Well, I've heard that my whole life.
But does that make sense?
Mainly
because
from your wife.
Because yeah, if yeah. I, because it's a bit of a club. Like inside jokes are, I think they're hilarious too, but there. So do you see what I'm saying?
It yeah, does. I'll give you that.
That's a bit of your I'll feeling you about the brewery. If you're not having a blast doing it like that.
You, I don't want to do it.
That's what I'm getting at.
Right.
That's kind of what I'm saying.
So we all were, we had jobs for the first, I just retired. So I worked full time for the first 3 years in the brewery. Okay, Jesse yeah. still works full time. My okay, wife still yeah. works full time.
Yeah.
And I'm the only idiot now that doesn't have to go to work and still show up at the brewery. And then we get Foster.
And Foster doing it. Yeah.
And that went well for people yeah. that aren't having fun.
That's yeah. right. Yeah. He wouldn't show up. Right. He wouldn't show yeah. up.
Okay. Well, having so, fun is fine.
We're
but,
still making money.
Yeah,
don't
okay.
get me wrong. We're
okay.
still making money. We're profitable.
Yeah, good.
But we're not going to take over the world. That was never the plan.
Yeah.
And nowadays, I think in this market, and I've talked to Liz about this, his wife, uh-huh. Janelle's wife.
Yeah, Liz Zane, a chef.
And you're talking behind my back?
Yeah.
What the hell?
She likes me more. And she has said, if we did it again, the model that you're doing is pretty cool.
Okay, yeah.
So not going to, no one's going to show up and... The CRBF, what are they called? What are
yeah,
they,
whatever. They have a dumb
initials,
name, too, by the way.
Yeah,
but
the initials
yeah,
of whatever.
The investment
no
group.
No one's
yeah.
going to show up to buy our brewery.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But we're making money. We're going to run this as long as we can until we're not having fun.
Yeah.
And then we'll figure out a way to liquidate or sell. Or my kid, who has no interest, will, like yeah. his kids, will be like, yeah, I don't care.
So I like this too, and I think Liz is onto something. So on Monday we had Mare Island Brewing Company in here, and I'd never spoken to those guys. I spoke to them at a beer festival, you know, but I didn't know their story, and I love their story, and they're growing, and they're at a growth point where they need to make some decisions. And the commentary that I was making, and Sully from the 2&A was here, so he knows too, because he decided to go to that next level,
right.
that big regional level, right? And I said, you know, you guys are at a point right now where you've got a big decision to make, because you could say, yeah, we're going to go for it all. And you might make it, but you got a long road ahead of you. Or you could say, enough.
Yep.
We've made it enough. And you're going to do fine. They have 3 tap rooms. They're profitable. They got a great community around them. You guys have a great community around you. I know that. So you're at that. You just described it. You're like, you're at that spot. And I think that is a great place to be.
And we're actually sniffing around about a second tap room right now.
Perfect.
So we're looking.
You could still do the
yes.
regional tap room, not regional, yeah. the local tap room thing, multiple. That's fine. That's a completely different level than Heretic went, than 21st Amendment decided to go. And both are okay.
It's a different
But
different
I do
time.
Think people yes, should decide yes. early on, or at least when they get to that point, don't go into it blindly.
Well, there are too many little right. upstart little asshole breweries like us that are popping up, that are making decent beer.
Today, you can't do a Heretic. You can't do...
It's gone.
You can't
gone.
Do a 2&A.
It's really tough.
It's done. It's down now to just your local.
Your locals, yeah.
And the problem with the locals now, we went out to... at least 3 of us, we went out to Rancho Cordova and hit 4 of the craft breweries out there. And they're going to kind of struggle a little bit because there's not enough market there for 4 of them so close together.
Hmm.
And so they're all just kind of either eventually one of them's going to figure it out and outcompete the rest of them, and
right.
the rest of them will go out of business, or there's just not enough market for all 4 of them to survive that close together. So, you know, the whole idea that when I started, we started as just a production brewery. There was not going to be a tap room.
Right.
And we were going to, you know, just... distribute beer, but the whole distribute beer thing has become way difficult. And then and there's a lot of competition, especially from the really big brewers that are buying up,
right.
up smaller ones, and just they force everybody out. So it's very difficult. And then
cans are all going to the same
to
shelves.
Rooms,
yeah.
Yeah. When
yeah.
you get to tap
same grocery
rooms,
store.
You know, when you have, you know, these little tap rooms that are just springing up, and a lot of them are people who they have other jobs, so it's kind of like their sideline, their side hustle type of thing, and they don't really need to make money at it. and you're competing with people that don't need to make money at it.
Right.
We still need to make money.
That is just an impossible business model for somebody who's...
It's not sustainable.
It's not sustainable. And that's the problem with the industry now. There's too many people jumping in.
Yeah.
And it's going to be... It's just a really difficult road to go down in the future.
Okay. So I'm going to jump a little here, but it's just... I think in light of the difficulties you just mentioned. So Stone sells for something like $160 million.
Right.
Pennies, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But I did get a little more insight on that number, and it's like, I think the 160 is actually what they pocketed. I think Sapporo took on all the debt, which was massive.
Right.
So it was really, if you look at it that way,
going, yeah.
It's probably a $500 million buyout.
Right.
But they're going to write off the debt, and it's no big fucking deal for them.
Right.
But anyway, because I was like, shit, $160 million. How much of that's got to go here, got to go there? You're going to leave with a couple mil? Who cares?
Right.
I don't think that's the case. I think they're pocketing 160. Anyway, before I get your opinion on that, was Heretic sailed north or south of 160? All you have to do is... you could say east or west, too.
South.
That's too bad. I was really hoping you were a billionaire and just not telling. I hope, because I could see that out of Jamil, can't you? He's just an asshole enough to be a billionaire and not tell a soul.
We thought that we saw him out on North Texas within his hot shorts. I was like, is this your corner now? What's happening? Make some extra money? What's going on here?
Meanwhile, there's like news reports of this mysterious new landowner in Texas buying up the whole, and it's Jamil.
Yeah.
But. South. I'm not surprised about that. I've put a lot of thought into this, not because I care about your finances, but to be honest with you, but I do care about you. I did ask you a question. We don't have to talk, give the answer on air, but I hadn't seen him in so long, and I was like, just tell me this. Could you do nothing? Could you and Liz do nothing for the rest of your life? And not just from Heretic. Jim, this is like Jamil's fourth career. And every one of them has been like a step up. I know you left Macromedia, which turned into Adobe and all of that. Jamil's more famous in the tech world than he is in the beer world. I don't know if you guys know that. If he went to a tech conference in like Australia, they'd be like, oh, you're Jamil? He's like written code. All I wanted to know was that the guy could just like stop working and die finally.
At some point I will.
That's what I wanted to know for you. All right.
He's got a fishing boat now.
Did you get a fishing boat?
No,
fish.
Right, the boat that I had before, I don't know, the little...
A ski boat or something,
right? Yeah, a little bow rider. It's like a 17-footer.
Yeah.
Sold that to one of my employees back in the day because the kids were just like, we're not interested in the boat anymore. And then a year after selling the boat, they're just like, hey, let's take the boat out. I'm like, well, I sold it because you told me you didn't care.
Right. You sold me the RV.
Right, exactly. And then they're like, yeah, the RV. I'm like, oh, it's gone. And so I ended up getting on the salvage auctions, and I bought a boat, the same maker, the same year.
Okay.
Just like 3 or 4 foot longer. It's like a 21-footer, so it's like 4 foot longer.
Nice.
Got it salvage, sight unseen, for like $2,500.
Oh, my God. It's got to be a disaster.
He got
for Heretic.
Seriously, he didn't go. Yeah, he so didn't then, buy a scarab. No.
So then I put in like another, $5,000 worth of work and parts and got the thing running. So,
oh my God,
that's my boat now. I'm gonna take it out Sunday for Liz's birthday.
See, I think he's a multimillionaire. He's just cheap as fuck. He's always been cheap as fuck, though. At which we aligned that way, like building my company, whereas other people's would be like, you got to take out loans, you got to do this if you're ever going to grow. And Jamil would see me piecing shit together, and he's like, yeah, that's the way you do it.
Right.
always frugal.
We ended up with a lot of loans.
Yeah.
Because, again, the beer industry, to grow... The equipment and the space that you need and all that is just ridiculous. The cost of stainless and everything else and labor and ingredients and hops just going through the roof.
Right.
Just everything out of control.
It is. You definitely got out at the right time. You know, just like you said, there's no more large regionals like that. There's also gonna, I don't want to say there's gonna be very little buyouts. The large ones are gonna get bought out. So like, so Russian River came up on the last couple shows. Sure. Like, are they going to sell? And I was like, no, they're not. But then Rye, he was like, well, but wait a second. Do they have a succession plan? Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, oh, shit, they don't have kids.
Right.
Vinny loves that beer. He loves brewing. He just he wants to be the brewer.
So I was thinking.
I was like, they might actually sell.
I love being part of the industry. I love brewing. I love the process. I love working with the employees. I love that whole thing.
He's homebrewing again.
I want to keep doing that. Mm. And that was my goal.
Yeah.
You know, can I still be part of it?
Can you, keep doing that.
And so I was trying to find somebody who would allow me to, you know, sell the brewery, even if it was at a serious discount.
And but still be a
still
part
be
of the
part of the thing and you know, help the employees learn and get careers and all that stuff and make new beers and all that. I would say one of the last beers I came up with at Heretic was So Much Mo, which you gotta try that beer.
Okay.
That's a great beer.
I will try that. I mean, listen,
about Mosaic.
You can continue to work for free for the Brewing Network forever. I will allow you to do that, Jamil. You can always be in the industry with me, buddy.
Yes. There you go.
I think we have to start talking about his salary
what
again.
What industry is this?
I don't know. Well, you're around beer. I guess you are with your buddies here, too. I just happen to put a microphone in your face.
There you go.
He shows up at my place all the time. And I'm like, yeah, just take care of him. Give him beer. He's fine.
That drinks your
Even
beer.
Even if I'm not there, I'm like, just take care of him.
Just give him beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really don't expect to pay for beer anywhere I go ever again.
I think that's fair. That's a pretty fair deal.
I need free beer.
Yeah. If you just wear a shirt that says, do you know who I am? And then put, like, you know, sports style Zana Chef across the back.
Yeah.
You'll probably never pay for beer again.
Can I get one of those, too?
You got exactly. Yeah, well,
we'll sell them
be like,
off
I don't know. You don't look
like
Jamil.
It's like a team.
Yeah. You don't look like Jamil. Jamil looks like he's dying. You look okay. I don't think that's you. What do you think about the Stone bio? I mean, they had no choice, right? They got stuck in the New Belgium position.
Right, exactly. So, around the time when, everybody started doing expansions and stuff like that, big, aggressive expansions, Green Flash.
Yeah.
You know, that expansion took Green Flash down.
Instantly, almost. Yeah. That was crazy how fast that happened.
Because they weren't as a good position as, like, Ballast Point. Sierra Nevada kind of survived that expansion. Stone did their Berlin thing. They had, you know, kept working on the hotel thing and so many other things.
Yeah, they even bought the land, I think, for that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they had the land for decades, I
okay,
think.
Okay,
they bought it pretty early on. But, you know, you end up, just overreaching.
Yeah,
and it just takes you down.
Sure, and the downturn probably happened faster than we thought.
Yeah,
do you think did that sneak up on us with the change to other beverages so quickly?
Right, you mean for Stone or for
the industry? Because here they are, this large regional, and it's not just that other brewers
craft
were their competition.
Beer is in real trouble.
Yeah,
now it's picking back up a little bit.
Yeah,
but it got hammered. So at the beginning of the pandemic. Everything was actually fine. Like Jason was saying, the customers came and bought stuff and, you know, you transitioned to cans and everybody was buying cans and you were doing great and everything was fine. And then people got tired of that. And then some places opened. And so they started going back to that. And so you had lost all your draft accounts and everything just went to hell.
Yeah.
And it was really difficult. And, the problem is craft beer is in a real struggle right now because what's going on now, I mean, seltzer is kind of a flash in the pan. It really blossomed, but it's dropping back down.
Okay.
There will always still be a role for seltzer, but it's declining rapidly. The other thing is, you know, craft beer was declining rapidly. It's coming back up a little bit, but it's still suffering. The real growth opportunities are in alternative beverages and especially cocktails and spirits.
Okay.
So before selling the brewery, I had realized this, and I was shifted over to making ready-to-drink cocktails. And we were just going great guns, and we were the darlings of the area, and our distributors were all excited. And, I mean, we'll see what happens with that, but...
Did you keep that separate from the sale?
No.
Because Ballast did that.
Right.
Ballast...
and Ballast Point, right.
They took Cutwater aside... Right. At the last minute, by the way.
Right. So it was Yusuf that told me to get into distilling.
Oh, nice. Yusuf's a smart guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And so anyways, that's where people should be going. They should be, you know, shifting towards cocktails. And if you're a brewery and, you know, you should be making cocktail-like stuff. You should be, you know... Switching over, people have kind of run the course. There will always be people wanting to drink IPAs, but you've seen the shift in the craft beer industry where people were looking for
something different,
fruity and sweet and beers. So, New England IPA is sweeter and fruitier than traditional IPA.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you've got the slushy stuff. Smoothie stuff out of like Texas and around there where that's really popular. That's, you know, becoming trendy and popular. You should be making those kinds of stupid beers
if you want your craft brewery
to survive.
Yeah.
Right? You should be looking at stuff that tastes more like cocktails, and that's really where it's going to go. Mm-hmm. And the breweries that can make something cocktail-like or set up a distillery and do that, you're going to you know, do better than the craft breweries who are just going like, I'm making my clear IPA and my red ale and my porter. That's really where it's shifting. You have to transition to that. That's the market. That's where the market's going. That's where all the success is going to be.
And we're seeing it as a retailer too. I mean, we're seeing that here. We're feeling the pinch among all the other pinches.
If you had cocktails on,
and
you'd do better.
Yeah, exactly. But our license doesn't allow us to do it.
Well, so being this guy's friend and pretty close to Heretic, I listen when he talks.
Yeah,
he has a gem every now and again.
Every now, yeah.
Every now and
a
again,
pearl falls from this swine every so often.
Occasionally, so we've been making. High gravity seltzers, and so we did a batch, and we put it on tap this last weekend. Actually,
It's
a bit timely.
What's high gravity? Give me a.
It's 15.5%
Okay, that's seltzer. Up there. Yeah.
And then we're gonna put it in a slushy machine and do different flavored slushies with it. But we started with, because the slushy machine showed up and it was all jacked up from the shipping. It was just beat up and didn't work. And so Jesse and I were in the brewery, and then we put it on one of the taps, and we're like, what can we do with this? And so we put a bunch of lime in it and some tahine, and we're like, dude, shooters. So we had a really cool 90s rock band called Inverness 95 out of Sacramento that showed up, and they kill it at our place. And we sold a ton of those.
Is that right?
A ton.
And what do you...
Seltzer-based cocktails.
What do you... Just like a tumbler glass?
Yep. Like our sampler tray, right? So one of the sampler glasses with a little lime juice, some chamoy and tahine on the rim, and the seltzer inside.
So a shot, basically.
Basically, yeah. So it's 15.5%. So you're looking at, with the lime juice, probably, 14.5?
Yeah.
15 proof?
Yeah.
I mean, about 30 proof. About 30 proof, yeah. So, and my wife was kind of worried about that, and I was like, well, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
So first off, no one got punched. There were no fights. No one passed out.
Because it's not that much alcohol.
Right.
Yeah.
But people were happy to have it because it was something different.
Yeah.
And they were having a good time with the band. You get a couple of those in you, and the people were having a great time. And then they bought a couple more beers.
Right.
Did 4-packs home with them. It was a great night.
You make yourself a 20% seltzer base.
Yeah.
And then you make cocktails from it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Super easy.
And if you just need to make it flavorless. So it's like vodka,
so that you can put other things in it to make it flavorful.
Yeah, you can't have a bunch. You can't have these rough seltzers that people are making.
That was our first iteration. So we're working on the second now.
Yeah,
we learned from the first one, and it was fine. It was great, and it's going to be on tap for a little while until we get through it.
Sure,
but, it's going to be better and better. So we're working on making that better. But I think it offers a lot of possibilities for the end of that kind of the RTD, that ready to drink
kind
of cocktail, because you could mock up whatever you want with that as a base and
actually sell have a little bite to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As a brewer, it hurts your soul just a little bit.
Yeah, but so
make stuff people want to drink.
Ultimately, you got to pay for the lights, right?
Yeah. Well, here, okay, so I'll give you my retail example of that. When I started the Hop Grenade with my partners, they wanted to do all kinds of bar gimmicky things, and I rejected them all.
Indeed.
And one of them was trivia night. I even rejected trivia night. I just said, look, we're not like other bars. We're different. And by the way, when we opened, it worked fine. We're different. And I told my management team, I said, if I ever approve trivia night, you should all start looking for jobs. Guess what starts at the Hop Grenade next week?
Trivia.
Oh, you waited till now.
Took me 8 years. Because I held good fast. I'm not complete. I'm not as dumb as I make myself out to be. I didn't need to. I still didn't need to.
Right.
It would have helped me, though. I am dumb enough that it would have helped me, and I still ignored it. And now I'm like, you know what? I can't just be empty on a Tuesday night anymore. Mm-hmm. I can't afford it.
Right.
So we do have to change our models. And even if it does hurt your brewer's soul, and it does hurt my little pub soul that I don't want a bunch of noise and trivia, I want us to be able to talk and have fun. Well, guess what? If nobody's here talking and having fun, who gives a fuck?
Nobody's buying beer.
And the whole place will go under.
So yeah. We do trivia on Sundays. I am the host, actually.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Yeah. Nice.
And the place, like Sunday mornings, is kind of chill. And then when trivia starts, the place is packed.
Right.
It's packed. They all come for trivia.
And we got to drop our pride and we got to drop our preconceptions sometimes and just kind of go with what's new. And so if that means that I have a seltzer on tap that can change flavors, if it means I install a slushy machine and that hurts my soul a little bit, well, fuck me. Who cares?
Right. The industry's changing. The industry is essentially... It'll change enough to the point where you're going to say it's gone away.
Yeah.
I started with four beer engines. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to make classic English beer.
Right.
And we're going to put this on cask, and it's going to be amazing.
People are going to love it.
Yeah. Nope. Not so much.
Right.
They
right.
loved it. The beer nerds that showed up, they were like, dude, this is great. I'm like, yeah, that's great, but I have to push through this cask.
Right.
And so now we're down. We have two. We typically run one. Just because it's a tough sell. Nobody knows what that is. If you're in this industry and you're a beer nerd, you know, you're down for that. But it's really tough for the general public. We sell American corn lager, seltzer, our red lager, and what else? Hazies, pretty much.
Yeah,
that's what pays for the lights and everything else in the place.
Of course.
And then occasionally we can make some stupid shit that people
that like. The other people enjoy, and that will always be that way. Like I don't, so you know, we talked about how you wouldn't want to be in business if you're not having fun. You don't want to be there if you're not having fun. All right, I don't want to be here if it's not still the Hop Grenade. So I'm not going to turn it into a college bar, but I am going to do enough that enough people come and enjoy that we all still have jobs, and then the rest of us can keep drinking wonderful things like off a beer engine or a cask or whatever else.
So. And what I've found too is a lot of people that are coming in, they'll start out. We have a lot of customers in Sassoon and Fairfield, very working class, not really hip to the beer scene.
Yeah,
and they start coming in. A lot of our customers have been a Heretic, you know, before we opened because they've been open for a while.
Yeah,
and they're coming in.
They're
and
old now.
We start them with exactly. Or dead.
They're old news now. Nobody even knows. Are they alive anymore?
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
Corn lager, some of these other things. And then now, like, you see these people progress into more flavorful beers.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool. So we can start doing, like, hey, we're selling a little bit more of this now. Let's do one of those.
But
we have a pretty broad range of beers that we're putting on tap. And a lot of them are, you know, kind of what would you call starter beers?
Yeah.
You know, just to get people in the door. And
that's what you got to do.
Yeah. They stay there sometimes, and sometimes they move on to other things. So
it
works out okay.
Well, you brought me your red lager, right?
I did.
All right. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to try some red lager from True Symmetry Brewing Company. We can talk about that, and we still got some more of the state of the industry to talk about as well. So hang in there. You're listening to The Session, and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back to the session. Thank you so much for hanging out with us still. You can find this show on YouTube if you're listening to the podcast. I did a video of the whole thing, so you can see all of our handsome faces. You can see Jamil is actually alive, and it's not just an imposter. We brought a real Jamil in. Check us out on YouTube or Facebook. We put the video up there all the time, and you can check it all out there. You can see the logos we've been talking about. And we're about to pour a red lager for us to try from True Symmetry. I'm excited about that. We're, of course, before the break, talking about popular styles and how to stay in business. But we also mentioned, you know, the rest of us still like these other cool things, which we got to talk about with Mare Island on Monday as well. They brought in a great red ale. I think you'd have liked it. I might have a can left we can share after the show, Jay-Z. So the rest of us still like these styles and want to try them. And so do a lot of beer drinkers, by the way. We shouldn't, of course, say that the classic styles are dead. The guys from Mare Island, Jay-Z, said that they did steal a little page out of your book. A little bit of chocolate malt in his red ale, which he said he really thought made all the difference in the world. And I said, hey, if you're going to brew a classic style, you steal from Jamil. That's what you do.
There you go.
You know. Is there going to be like a new classic styles book, Jamil? Because since that book was written, there's a bunch of new classic styles, aren't there?
Right. So one of the thoughts was I should brew or write a book called Brewing Modern Styles.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, yeah. Ooh. Oh, see, you could corner the market on that, too.
Yeah. Mm. That or, Brewing Classic Styles Rebrewed or something.
Yeah, yeah. You're homebrewing a bunch again.
Well, 4 batches so far.
Okay,
so
I call that a bunch.
He's killing it.
That's true.
They're actually really
that
good.
That would be like 5 years for you.
Exactly. Yeah. That's surprising.
So
do you want your fermenter back finally?
my good buddy Matt Thomas there.
Yeah.
Hi, Matt.
Matt's here.
He converted a chunk of his garage into a authentic British pub.
Legit.
Oh, Matt, English just pub. So you know, Jamil's bragged this to me, bragged about this to me before you were even sitting in the room. So
as
this is cool.
Should.
Yeah, it sounds awesome. You have actual beer engines in your British pub garage.
So he needs beer for the beer engine. So that's what I've been brewing. So I brew is all British stuff. I put it in casks, and then we serve it in his Canterbury.
Okay.
What's 3 hours?
Oh, is that what the pub's called?
Yes.
At the Canterbury. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Very
in
nice.
3 hours, the beer is gone.
Or two. Yeah. 2 to 3 hours, there's not a drop left.
Wow.
It's a rough go.
So the drinking sounds accurate, but Matt, I got to say, the Canterbury sounds classier than you look. It sounds. it has like a.
I appreciate it.
No truer words.
It just has a very classy feel to. Not that you don't have class, don't get me wrong.
He had a whole nother. Yeah, you should have them on the microphone. They're the whole nother.
Grab this one right here.
The whole nother set of names for the Canterbury, which was like, you know, the cock and balls. It was, you know,
the cock and beaver.
The cock and beaver.
Fighting chicken and a very aggressive beaver.
Actually, what's funny though is those are all English names. Right. The cock and beaver would totally work. Exactly. But you went, see, I like your style. You was like, no, I'm going to go with the Canterbury.
His wife was just like, the Canterbury. Yeah.
I think she didn't want a picture of a cock on the front of the house.
Right.
And a beaver.
Well, she kept thinking it was going to be something phallic. And I was like, no, it's a chicken.
It's a chicken. Yeah,
let's be a little classy.
See, this is why you're at the Canterbury.
I assume it was, so would have been like a penis and a vagina, you know.
Right, but no.
Smothered in chocolate. You know.
Where'd that come from?
That was just Jamil's extra touch. No, that's his own fetish. This red lager is delicious.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. That's really great.
It's very tasty.
It's just, so it's kind of a spinoff of our English Brown.
Okay.
Or that we made a lager. And
this
we
is some perfect Thursday.
Yeah. What was that one called? Something about Tuesday? Yeah.
Some random
Shitty
Thursday.
Shitty Tuesday. Shitty Tuesday. That was actually the original name.
Yes.
So we kind of tweaked the recipe a little bit and made it into a nice lager, and it kills. Mm. It's pretty much always on tap.
What yeast in this one, Foster?
It's the 3470.
Okay. Which is what? Give me the name of the other name of it. Does it? Do we know what it is?
It's from
is it
like London Weiss Stefaner.
Okay,
Weiss Stefaner.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. Nice.
It's like the yeast that most German lagers are made with.
I see.
Yeah, it's really, really like just sort of a generic, nice German lager yeast. We use it for much all of our lagers.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll run multiple gens on it, and this. So we do the red, then we do the Schwarz beer or mm-hmm. the black lager after it, and then we kill it and start over again.
Chocolate malt?
Nope. Midnight wheat.
Really?
2%.
What? Because there's like a toffee something going on that I really like.
We have a little caramel 100.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's got the computer in front of him.
I've got it right in front of me.
Yeah, that's good.
But only because I was like, I can't see this. Can you read
like
these things?
Yeah, the Viking.
Okay.
Which is like a C40, I think. And
it's about C40, C45, something like that, yeah.
Then a little bit, so Pilsner is about 50%.
Okay.
Vienna.
Vienna, all right.
37%.
So a bunch of Vienna. That's probably what I'm picking up there, too.
Yeah.
I like a Vienna. Okay.
A little aromatic Munich.
I mean, it's almost a Vienna lager, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But we call it a red because we want to sell it.
A little more.
Nobody knows what a Vienna lager is.
A little maltier, more intense than a Vienna lager. Vienna lager, a little lighter.
Right? Yeah. Give you that.
Those sea malts in there and a little bit of dark malt to mm-hmm. bring the color out a little bit. Just a touch of roastiness, but really, really subtle.
Yeah, it's nice.
I mean, it's kind of in between, like, you know.
Here we go.
Almost.
Here we go.
Dunkel,
mm-hmm. yeah,
you know, Vienna.
I was expecting October a bad Fest, analogy.
You know,
yeah,
that's kind of it. It's kind of in its own like little niche there.
I
think middle of Dunkel and Vienna is a great description. Yeah. It definitely has, because Dunkel has that just a little bit more like, sorry to say it, but like biscuity. I'm mm-hmm. sorry to pull out a piece.
Rich malty. Yeah. And all that, yeah.
Yeah. It's really great.
Thank you.
Does it sell well?
Yes.
It does.
It didn't sell well when we called it other things, but man, we call it Red Lager.
It doesn't have a name?
Sassoon Sunset.
Oh, that's a nice name.
It's beautiful, right?
Look at you growing up.
I'm learning from this guy right here.
Because what kind of crappy name was it before?
It was called like Wet Pants.
Actually, it was. It's weird. Yeah. How'd you know that?
Yeah.
Some collection of symbols and digits that nobody could pronounce or what.
Oh, that's a good name, Sassoon Sunset.
It's nice.
Yeah. That's a good beer. And you guys, you sell cans to go too?
So yeah, we have 8-barrel system, 16-barrel tanks. So we'll run double batches on certain things, and we have a little Wild Goose Gosling. So very labor intensive, but great little canner. And we'll rip out a bunch of cans on beers. We'll double batch that we have on a tap all the time.
Yeah.
So we have them in the fridge, and then we also have a can steamer behind the bar, so you can get a 4-pack of whatever you want, because I didn't want to do two different can sizes. So the whole 32-ounce crawler thing, I was like, no.
Yeah.
So we have 16-ounce cans. So we got a Dixie canner that does 16-ounce cans behind the bar.
Okay.
But you want to drink them. It's like a growler. You want to drink them in a week or so, but you can get whatever you want. So like this one, the Sassoon Sunset, is our generic label. That's
just right off of that.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
So take it home, drink it.
Okay.
And then the ones that like sell a lot more beer, we'll make double batches, and then we'll run it on the counter and have it in the cold box or in the fridge in the tap room. So
got it. It's good beer.
Thanks.
What the fuck does Silent Jesse do for you?
So
Barry's body.
He's the anchor.
So
he's the rock.
You don't say Barry's body aloud. Okay.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying. So like if you ever want,
I can edit that out.
If you
I won't, body, but Barry. I can.
Yeah. If you ever want to just to. This is the guy. So Jesse and I started homebrewing. I started homebrewing in 1999.
Okay.
Wife bought me a kit for Christmas. Started making beer. Jesse and I have been buddies since before that. And so he'd come over and make beer with me.
Okay.
And so when it came time down the road, well down the road, what was it, 2018 that we opened? 17 for the work. I was like, hey, you're the only guy that I would want into this. Because I told him years ago, I was like, hey, we're going to open a brewery someday. Start saving money. And he's never said a word about it. And then,
but started saving money.
In 2018, he was like, yeah, I have X amount of money.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, cool. So now he is one of the owners. It's my wife and myself and Jesse.
Okay. Yeah.
That own the brewery. And this guy pretty much fixes all the shit that I break.
Okay.
And
Jesse, you're in the fire department otherwise, or retired from the fire department?
No, he's still working.
Currently, you're in the fire department. Yes.
Okay. All right.
And a paramedic. So when I cut off a finger or something, this is the guy.
Okay. But the engineering part is just something you've done your whole life as a hobby, or
just from learning from my dad, who was mechanical.
Okay.
I just kind of pick it up. So things that he'll says doesn't work.
Be nice.
Doesn't work.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It does work. But I'm able to, you know, take the time and think about it and then basically find a fix for it.
That's a good
where I would just set it on fire and be like, "Yeah, this is broken."
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Buy a new one that you can't afford.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I need to say this is the first time I've ever heard Jesse speak.
Yeah. So you, this is a new thing here.
Yeah.
So we call him Silent Jesse for a reason.
For a reason, right?
It's interesting to hear his voice.
Didn't even know he had a voice. Yeah. They're expecting to pull out one of those things you got to put on your neck to talk or something.
He has breathed in a lot of fire. A lot of fire over the years.
Right.
He gets called out to all that stuff. So, yeah.
Right. Well, and Jason, so you're a retired peace officer.
I am.
And you're another first responder, still, though, Silent Jesse, and currently. How close are you to retirement? Yeah, grab that back.
Yeah. I think about 6 years out.
Pretty close, man. Okay.
He could go in four.
What
I can go in four, but...
What county do you work with?
Solano County.
Solano, okay.
Yeah, so I work for the Vacaville Fire Department.
Okay, got it. Doing what specifically? As an EMT for them?
Currently as a firefighter paramedic.
Got it.
So I ride the fire engine or in the ambulance.
I see. I had to call you guys this morning. But it's always about homeless people here, and probably everywhere.
Oh,
right
I thought
now,
you
but,
lost a limb or something.
No, nothing exciting. Just another homeless person who was on drugs and asked me for help.
Here in Concord?
Yeah.
Weird. Really?
Yeah, tell me that our reputation doesn't precede us
here.
How
did they get so that weird. Far away from Bark?
I don't know. Easy.
Yeah.
We throw them off.
They now pretty much live here at the Hop Grenade, basically what's happening. So 6 years, and then you'll be retired too.
Potentially, yes.
Okay. Until then, though, you've got to fix all of Jason's fuck-ups at the brewery. That's basically your deal now?
No, between him and Foster.
Yeah. And Foster, too.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And what did you say, 8-barrel brew house?
Yeah.
Did you buy it from somebody else or new?
No.
Or?
So I went to that brewing school in England, Brew Lab, and there was a guy that opened a brewery in Singapore.
Okay.
And he was kind of my guy. He moved to Hong Kong, was a part owner in Hong Kong Brewery for a while, and then I ordered it directly, which could have been terrible. It could have been a couple of shipping containers full of, like, garbage. But I had him there and hired a customs broker out of San Francisco, and we got the whole system way cheaper than if I hired someone here to do it.
Okay.
Very labor-intensive. We turn a lot
for
of
for Jesse.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant to put it together when it got here.
No,
you mean labor-intensive to run.
Yes. Okay. We got a technician from the manufacturer in China that
came out.
We put him in the hotel, fed him, hung out with him. Took him bowling, all kinds of stuff. He was super cool.
Nice.
And in 12 days, we built the brewery.
Okay. Wow.
12 days.
That's impressive.
Everything got set up. It was Jesse and I and, like, most of our friends showing up to do all the moving of things, and we got it all set up. And then because it was
I mean, Jamil did it in 11, but that's impressive.
He's a little more Jesus.
The Pope did it
in 7 days. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was 7 days.
Well, on the seventh day, he rested.
He did.
It was six.
Six.
I rest on the seventh.
Fair point. So we got up and running. Normally, they stay for a little longer, but it was Chinese New Year's February.
He had to get out.
So he had to bail.
Yeah.
So then we started the brew house on our own. So actually, the first brew day, Chris from Berryessa and his whole crew came down and, like, brewed with us the first day, which was pretty cool because I've monkeyed around with his system and a bunch of places in England, but it was kind of nice to have some professional help there to get us going. And then
I've always said you need professional help.
I've heard that. Yeah, I've heard that most of my life. It's kind of a theme. So we got up and running, and the beers were pretty good at first, and we just keep dialing in and dialing in and dialing in.
I mean,
so
it was homebrew at first, if you're honest, right?
Yeah, realistically,
that's not true, because you went to school for it.
Yeah, I had some education behind it, so I knew what we were doing with the water and all that. We were looking at all the details. But, I mean, you're learning a new system. So anytime, even if you change out a system, you're learning a new system. So you have to account for those things. There's going to be a couple batches that you're dialing in. I think we've come a really long way. In a pretty short period of time.
He's looking at me.
I know.
Yeah,
everything's fine.
Your beer was okay to start with. You know, that you were making some good beers, and some of them I thought were just okay. I didn't think you had any great beers when you started. I mean, that because Matt and I, we went to your grand opening.
Well, he is no authority on anything. I'm just saying.
I'm a professional beer drinker.
He's a
fair point. Okay.
So I was there from the beginning in the garage, and I was tasting those beers. And then I remember the transition when you came back from England and how amazing it was. You're just like, holy crap, this kid learned some skills.
Really changed.
So then we just started hanging out in the
But that was at home. So I came back in England in 2014 and we didn't open until 2018. So I was homebrewing on my homebrew, my tippy dump from Warbeer.
Okay, very nice.
For 4 years.
Yeah. But with new skills is what Matt's saying.
But then when we went commercial, it was like, okay, this is a whole new thing.
Sure.
So we have to dial this in. And I think to be humble enough to shut up. to accept criticism from your friends. And, and I was lucky enough to be just by proximity. I was close to him, and then we found out we were neighbors.
That's
we
funny. Like just a coincidence.
4 blocks apart. And then he accepted me, and I went to Heretic. And
had you listened to his shows before you met him? Or before you found out he was a neighbor?
So I was the VP of Greenbelt Brewers before I went.
Okay,
when
so
I
you
came
knew,
back.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until later, though. So I was never, I'm not very technologically advanced.
Yeah.
So that's my wife's job.
Yeah.
Who makes it all run.
Listening is too technologically advanced for you.
I can't listen. I well, it's on the computer or the phone.
It's not on the radio. I can't figure it out. Yeah. You don't turn a dial.
It's rough. Yeah.
But you know, your beers, you know, when Matt and I were there, we're like, yeah, they're all right, you know. And I told you, it's like, don't open until, you know, throw away all your beers until you're sure it's all good, and then open.
Yeah.
So when should I open? Is it coming up?
I think in another 6 months,
you're
ready to open.
We're getting so close.
But, you know, your beers have gotten, you know, worlds better since then. They weren't bad. They just weren't, you know, outstanding that I would get in my car and drive to go to be there.
What if they're free?
That has helped.
Okay,
that has helped. But now your beer.
He also drives an electric car. It's free. So that's a really bad commentary.
Your beer. Fair. Your beers have gotten, you know, 1,000% better, and they were the good to start with.
Right.
But now some of your beers are great. Where I'm like, man, that's outstanding. I've told you. It's like, that's
like
fantastic.
This red lager, in my
that's
opinion.
That's outstanding. Yeah. You make some great beers. And, you know, the worst of your beers are, well, that's good. That's really good.
Which is better than a lot of breweries.
The vast majority of breweries. So he's doing really well now. Yeah. Now,
I have
his stupid beer names, he's even improved upon that.
It's getting bad. I have the advantage of being where we are.
Should name one stupid beer name.
Stupid beer names.
No, just
stupid beer name would be a great one.
Stupid beer name IPA.
Look on Untappd. I guarantee you there's 16 of them on Untappd right now. Already
that's
gone.
That's true. Every beer name is taken.
That's true,
But being close to him and Chris and some of these other brewers around that have like just taken me under their wing and helped me out and being humble enough to go, okay, cool, yeah, I'll listen to that and like work on it and make it better and
He still gets a little butthurt, you know.
Well, everybody does, Jamil.
Yes.
And
you're right.
And listen, you know,
I do too. Yeah.
It's your babies.
And coming from you, Jamil, we all look up to you. But also, I like the pull no punches shtick. I have that too. Yeah. But my delivery is much softer than yours. And so, you know, there's a little
that's
blow.
That's what I've heard. Your delivery is quite
it's
soft.
A little blow there,
quite
too.
Soft.
You know.
Your blow is quite soft. Yeah.
No, my last homebrew, he looked me right in the eyes and he poured it into the grass. So you guys don't know nothing.
Yeah. I was actually there for that.
He was there. I was trying to be. Jason muscled it down.
Did he stay looking at you the whole time?
There was just total disdain in his face.
I was trying to be nice. I was like, I see what you're doing here. Yeah. And then he's like,
didn't even care.
He just dumped it
out. I'll tell you this. There's people I lie to. That just can't handle it.
Right.
They're so delicate that if you say anything other than, oh my God, this is the greatest beer in the world I've ever had.
Yeah.
They lose their minds. Now, these guys can handle it. And I can tell them the truth.
Right.
You know, and, you know, the problem with Jason has is...
Oh, here we go.
How long
is this show?
When I tell him...
I was going to cut it off, but it's just getting good.
When I tell him something is really fantastic, I think it's great.
Yeah.
And I love it, and I think it's perfect. He doesn't believe me.
Fuck you.
I thought you were going to say he then goes and changes it.
Whereas when I tell him something that could use some work, he's just like, oh, it's a pile of shit.
Oh,
he
man.
Hates it.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, no. I'm just like, there's a couple of tweaks.
I think I would do. I figured you out okay.
And then I tell him this is perfect. He's just like, no, he's just lying to me.
Yeah.
He's drunk.
Yeah.
He's had too many.
He makes some great beer.
Yeah.
What do you think about this? The worst, red lager. The worst thing you're going to find
on
tap.
Let's not go into that.
At True Symmetry is going to be, this is a really good beer.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the worst thing you're ever going to find. If you're a super geeky beer person, you're going to be that knows everything about beer. You're going to be like, this is a really good beer. And the rest of these are great.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
So that's a good brewery visit.
We're trying.
It's
like we're trying.
He's no Russian River. But,
but who is? Let's be honest.
When I went to Russian River, it was like, 22 beer samples, and, 20 of them were absolutely freaking outstanding, the greatest beers in the world, and two of them were, these are really good beers.
Yeah.
So, you could, very similar. Very similar.
You're on your way. You're on your way.
No.
Yeah.
Not so much.
I mean, it's a simple, he's really come a long way in the 4 years you've been open.
Yeah, it's not been that long.
Yeah, it'd be 5 years in April.
Would you say that one of the keys to being successful in business, and maybe even in life or marriage, is to have a partner that doesn't talk?
Are you talking about my wife or are you talking about this
Jesse.
Guy?
Yes.
Because my wife really runs the brewery.
I didn't say wife or husband. And all I said was, in a partnership, whether it be a marriage or business, do you think it's helpful to have one that doesn't talk?
Well, then no. So
you're gonna get me in trouble. I would say no.
It could be you that should be the one who doesn't talk.
You always want your partners to talk.
Yeah. You do,
but what you need is one person in charge.
I see.
So one person makes the ultimate decisions. One person says, "Look, all right, I hear what you're saying. I've weighed all the opinions." It's like when you ask your employees. It's like, they don't make the ultimate decision.
But I like to hear the input.
But you got to get that feedback, and from your partner, you got to get their because if they feel like they need to be silent, because the most silent person will talk too.
Yeah,
you got to give them the chance. You got to elicit that response from them.
Yeah.
And if you don't get that from them, and then you make a decision, they're going to be like, "Well, I don't matter." But you got to listen to them. You got to engage them. You got to talk with them, through the process.
Sure.
And then go, well, it's kind of a 50-50. I'm going to fall on this side, and they need to be okay with that. So you need somebody who can pull that punch, make that decision.
We have a bit of a three-prong approach. So there's like... The idiot in the back that's like, let's just make this.
That's him. And then his wife's like, that's stupid. I'm not doing that.
Right.
Meanwhile, Jesse makes all the decisions. We just don't know it.
She runs the she runs the business. She handles the employees. She makes the place work. She knows what's selling. So she tells us, like, hey, guys, this is what's selling. And this guy doesn't say much, but when he does, it's like, okay.
You listen. Yeah.
All right. He's got a tidbit.
Right.
And then most of the time I'm like, hey, what does he know? Blah, blah, blah. And later I'm like, Jesse said this. And my wife's like,
Yeah.
So
is there more red lager?
Yeah. Yes. Somewhere over here. So, it's a good combination. Like I said, I have no business running a business.
Okay.
That would be terrible. That's true. It would be terrible. Absolutely terrible.
Well, that wasn't your life. You were a cop. You were a peace officer.
Right.
Thank you, Matt.
But between Jesse and my wife, who...
Not a bad thing.
Like, it's a good combination. And they rein me in.
That's a good business.
I just had a crazy idea. Was it yesterday that I dropped on you? 2 days ago. And I was like, what about this? And then he was like, nope.
So he knows how to say no.
I go home and I go to my wife. I'm like, hey, I had this idea. And I told Jesse, and she's like, nope. And I'm like, okay. But
it's working.
It sounds so cool.
What was the idea? Everyone needs to hear it. Because so they can learn from your,
stupidity.
How do I put it?
I think it's a good idea.
I was going to say mistakes.
So we have this killer tap room. Our tap room is huge, right? We have plenty of space. We do live music every Friday, and that's where we pack it in. That's where we make money.
Okay.
So my thing is, let's get a little PA system and a little stage. I could bring in bigger bands for more money, and we do True Symmetry after dark.
Ah.
And do like a event.
Like a late night?
Like from 8 o'clock to midnight or whatever.
Well, wait, what is it normally on Fridays?
We close on about, usually when the bands are done, about 10:30.
Okay, so 6
roughly
to 10.
10:30, yeah.
Okay.
So push it a little later and then bring people in and do a cover charge or a minimum drink thing and all this, and they were both like, yeah, nope, not having it. Because yeah. we have to do this. I'm like, I don't care. We can make this happen.
Nope.
All right. So when I open...
If you had cocktails...
So everyone's looking at me like, I'm a bar, stupid. I'm stupid right now.
If you're a music bar...
But we're working on the bass for like...
Then, yes.
And then you're in Sassoon. That's,
it
you
is
know,
Sassoon.
Sassoon's wonderful,
and you gotta,
but,
yeah, and you got to drive know. Far to get out of there. And yeah. By the way, I relate to you more than even Jamil, because Jamil's smarter than I am, too.
Okay.
These
is
are
that,
the,
wait, is
the,
that a dumb people?
Not really, but yeah. I'm
I'll
just saying.
It. Bring it on.
So I had those ideas with this place, too, when we opened. And I had to be taught, for example, that nothing good happens after midnight.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So being a Concord person, I was like, look, everything closes at 12. And
you're
I think that's,
Concord?
I was like, what if we're the place? This is 8 years ago,
open
right?
till 2.
I'm like, yeah, right. You know, I was like, we could really. And I kind of wouldn't take no for an answer. It's my fucking place, right? And my GM said, all right. I'll tell you what, let's give it a shot for one weekend. And as long as you're going to be objective about the results, we'll bring in staff to do it for one weekend. Man, was I wrong.
Okay.
And for a lot of reasons. It's not just, you know, when you say nothing good happens after midnight, everyone thinks, oh, fights. And okay, well, that's one thing. But the other thing is, people stop purchasing anything.
Yes.
They're fucking hammered at midnight. They're nursing a drink for an hour and a half.
It's a waste of time.
Arguing with their friends about politics and the world. Mm-hmm. And so not only does nothing good happen from a physical standpoint, there's no revenue that coming into that till either.
Yep.
And so he's like, so after the weekend, I'm going to show you the numbers. He also wanted me to be around to see the behavior.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, oh yeah, you guys are right. you gotta go.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, I'm an ideas guy too. I'm like, you know, come on, this is good.
Well,
but,
that's what you need. You need ideas.
And then you need
also just like, you know, reality checks and you know, people who will look through the numbers and people, you know.
Yeah.
But you need the idea guy.
I think you're
you
right.
Know,
and I'm right. I do like the throw it at the wall. By the way, ideas too. I know it's dumb to say there are no dumb ideas, but there are no dumb ideas until you evaluate them.
Right, exactly.
And I've always really tried to foster that environment. Yeah. I've had to actually train some of my management a little bit, like, hey, no naysaying until we're done. And then when the ideas are out there, you can pick it apart like there's no end.
It's called a debrief. Right.
But when someone's delivering you their idea, just don't naysay. Don't pick that. Just shut up. And even in some ways go, oh, all right. I hear you.
Right.
And then later there's a time to decide if these ideas
work, look at the logistics.
If they fit. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But there's a time for creativity. And there's a time for logistics.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, they're not at the same time in the beginning of a fucking idea.
Exactly.
That's for sure. You know?
Idea is just a creativity time.
Yeah.
Just to throw out anything. I've come up with all sorts of weird and stupid ideas that, you know, sometimes I've crushed myself. But, you know, other times I bring up to Liz first and she's like, no. I'm like, all right, so that one's done.
She's a saint.
And then, you know, there's other times that these ideas, as weird as they seemed, really worked out.
Or evolve into something that works out.
It's a starting point for something that could happen. So, well, you know, being bottled up. I was a radio disc jockey and then got into police work for 27 years. And so there's not a lot of creativity involved in that. Right, it's the facts.
If there was, you were getting in trouble.
That's right. It's a bad thing. I wouldn't have made it 27 years. And so, like, getting out of that, going back into brewing, not from a homebrew standpoint, but now I own my own business. I can make whatever I want. So...
No,
we can do
what,
you
make whatever you want. It's going to be
you just can't sell whatever you want.
Exactly. So
at
you
least
have
you can't
to have,
name it whatever you want.
You have to have that team behind you to say
that's a problem.
Hold on, dude.
Yeah.
No. How about no?
Yeah.
We're not going to do that. So I now recognize that sometimes I have to just pump the brakes a little bit.
Right. Or throw the ideas out there, and
you got to
pump the brakes on the execution, maybe.
So what in my mind, I'm like, I planted a seed like this. So I planted the seed. What's
going
to happen in a couple years? Easy.
Right.
What's going to happen in a couple years or in a year, maybe we'll get there. But
this is so quiet.
That's why Jesse never speaks.
No more seeds.
This is the guy that gave me money, invested in this. So it's a rough go.
He still can't get over his stupidity and wasting his money on this.
Costa Rica now.
All right, gentlemen. I'm going to wrap it up here. And I'm going to tell you why. For one, we're way past my new limit, which is 90 minutes. But for two, this is a lot of fun, and I think we should do a periodic, like, no-format show. And I think you guys should be my go-to guys. I think this is, it sounds like this is what you kind of do anyway. And you need some new blood so you don't kill each other. So I can be in here in the mix, you know.
With weapons or without?
Yeah.
Sex toys?
I want to do more shows like this where we come in and, like, maybe there's a loose array of topics. Mm-hmm. By the way, Silent Jesse has to come every time.
Yes.
Foster, I don't know. I can take him or leave him.
We should call him Goddamn Foster.
Goddamn Foster. Yeah. No, I'm kidding, of course.
I'm the second silent guy.
Really. Say, like, I mean, if we were an all beer show, then I've been talking to you the whole time.
There you go.
You know, so this is a lot of fun. And I think, I actually think listeners are going to enjoy this, this free form. So I hope you'll come back. And we'll do another no topic show. This wasn't a no topic show, but how we got to float around.
Jason and I float all the time. Don't we,
brother? You know what? Personal information is personal information. Okay? There's boundaries.
Yeah. There's those times when we float.
There's boundaries, man.
A lot of fun. I want to remind you, everybody in this room, including myself, believe it or not, homebrewers at one point in their life, use the Beersmith brewing software to help you get through it. Do you guys still use Beersmith?
That's what he was looking at for the recipes. Yeah.
Is that right?
Heck yeah, Brad Smith.
Oh, ooh. Brad's a badass. You can go to beersmith.com. You can still get your free 21-day trial, and he's working on it all the time. It does so many things that you need and that you don't know you need. You're, by the way, the two out of three breweries who come in here now, professional breweries like yourself, tell me that they use Beersmith. So it's just a really robust software. Go check them out. And Brad's been a supporter for a long time. Got to see him at the Homebrewers Conference. And always nice to see him and hang out with him. So make sure you go check that out. All right. We will be back with more. On my next show, I've got Seven Stills Brewery and Distillery out of San Francisco coming on in a week or so. I don't know the exact date. That's our next show this month. Thank you, boys, for coming in here. I think we might be serving seltzer at the Hop Grenade soon. You and I are going to talk about that.
We have that.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. I got to get
seltzer cocktails.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We have the 15.5% one too.
Did you bring it?
No.
But you got that. You're dialing that in.
Yes.
Yeah.
He gets you 20% here.
Right. I love this. You're doing good work, I think.
Thank you.
This is really a problem. I mean, I'm being honest. This is like a problem that Jamil was sparking this idea that you're solving for places like mine.
He might help a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. All right, folks. Thanks for hanging out with us. Take care of yourselves. Be sure to visit our sponsors, and we'll see you next time. Take care of yourself and your beer.
The Session is a production of the Brewing Network and brought to you by More Beer. Check them out at morebeer.com. Find more content and live video of this show on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/brewingnetwork. For sponsorship opportunities and information, please reach out to advertising@thebrewingnetwork.com. To reach our hosts, contact feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com.